the twin that talks about being older because they were born like 5 minutes ahead of the other. Come on, Nick, that's bullshit, dude. That doesn't count.
Fair.
Anyways, man, I let me see here. No, can't is there some settings here that I can change? Because I kind of want to get rid of these things on the top, but I don't know how to do that. You know, screw it. Whatever. I'm good, Nick. We're recording. We're rolling. Hit it.
Welcome to Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, brought to you by Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow.
Yay, guys.
I'm joined by Kyle.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
I'm Nick. Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, guys. Welcome to the show, like Nick said, and be sure to follow us on whatever podcast app you might be listening on, or of course, please hit that subscribe button on YouTube if you're watching us on YouTube. And then there's all sorts of social media stuff down below. You guys know what to do with all that stuff. I'll leave you to it. LRMonline.com, genreverse.com, and yeah, I just realized my mic is all sideways, so I'm gonna sound better probably now than I did for the
Sexy.
First than I did for the first few minutes. But oh well. Yep, that's it. House clean done, Nick. Here we are. Yes. Spider-Man 1, 2002. Sam Raimi.
Perhaps the first MCU movie when retconned.
Okay,
Kyle and I. If you haven't, you've heard us speak about this a lot. If you're not a first-time listener, Kyle is fully against the nostalgia of bringing back villains and characters. Whereas this is my second favorite Spider-Man movie. Still,
like I'm only against it in as much as how much they're doing, and the fact that it's with characters that 5 years ago and properties 5 years ago people were straight up using well, in Spider-Man's case it's a little more than 5 years for the X-Men and Fantastic Four. It's about 5 years ago. Hashtag give the rights to Marvel. Hell, dude, even after No Way Homecoming, they were, people were like, God, I hope Marvel gets the rights back for this. And no one had any desire other than a few. There's always been a few, but no one had a freaking desire to see Garfield or McGuire again. And then all of a sudden it's 2000, let's say 18 and 19. And everyone's just like mainlining shit from the 80s and 90s. Like it's going out of business.
That's the way it always works though.
And then they move into the 2000s, which, can we even be nostalgic for shit that people are still like technically in the same like phase of development as they were when it originally came out? Like there's teenagers 19 years old getting the nostalgic for shit when they were 13, 6 years ago, acting like you and I do when we see shit from 1994, you know?
I get nostalgia for this, obviously, and that's where we mainly differ, and you don't, because I think the movie holds up. We've discussed many times, you don't think the early ones hold up. For me, I've told this story before, I'll tell it again. Well, first of all, our very first ever video for the website by us, like Kyle's show, I was on it, was ranking all the Spider-Man movies. So yeah, we've kind of come indeed. Full circle. And there have been two Spider-Man films since then. Spider-Verse and Far From Home. Did you hear the Spider-Verse title today?
This is first Spider-Verse 2?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. They released an actual full
title. Across the Spider-Verse. And I have the trilogy capper. Beyond the Spider-Verse. Boom. That's your trilogy.
I guess.
Marvel news, okay. Before we move on, Andrew Garfield had an interesting interview with Entertainment Weekly today, which I guess is yesterday. I don't know when we're getting this out, but in it he said it's both the end of a franchise and the end of a trilogy. And he said if they move forward with more movies at Marvel, it'll take on a different tone, not just because they're switching directors. But
you mean Holland or Garfield? You said Garfield.
I meant Holland.
Holland. Yeah, there's a lot of people reading into comments like he was talking about if this was the last one, it was really emotional and all. Like you and I have pointed out, in the past that the contract talk, we haven't heard anything in a while, and I don't know if it's 100% certain he's in Multiverse of Madness, like if that was already officially, I don't remember, but everyone is assuming that's the team-up movie that was in the 2019 contract.
Yeah.
But we haven't heard anything else. The way things are shaking loose with the Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and some of the things that have been leaked and some of the things that have been revealed for No Way Home, I think Spider-Man's going to go to Sony for a while and play in their world. Now, whether or not it's a Spider-Man movie or if it's Holland and other characters movies, team up movies, whatever, I think that's it. And then the door's always open now for him to come back over for, say, like a Secret Wars type deal.
And he did say this feels like the completion to a complete trilogy.
Yeah,
not like we're gonna keep making them. It's like, no, this is a trilogy. And then my hope is he's always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to see it on the big screen because we've never had Peter Parker in high school for more than one movie, like a adult, college trilogy, an adult trilogy. It'd be cool to watch the same actor grow up as Spider-Man.
Yeah, but I honestly don't know, and I'm not saying, you know, obviously superhero fatigue has not necessarily set in. People are still arguing what box office numbers mean what, and I'm like, guys, honestly, Hollywood's just happy people are going at all, so just keep going. But that being said, crap, I lost my train of thought. What was the original topic, Nick?
We were talking about if there'd be another trilogy.
Oh, yeah. I don't necessarily think fatigue is setting in, but we would be dumb if we honestly thought that we could get to an adult Peter. Do I think we'll get a college? I do, and I think that'll be on the Sony side, and I think that's where we'll potentially get Miles's proper live action and introduction. Even though he might be more than, I got a nephew here, then we might hear the name Miles dropped, but I don't necessarily think we'll see any Miles. Who knows, man.
So
I don't think we have enough time to get to full adulthood, though I agree it would be nice.
I think we'll still have superhero movies that far in the future. It's
just not as many,
because it seems like the only time it feels like we have superhero fatigue is when the movies aren't any good. Mm-hmm. Like the Andrew Garfield movies.
Exactly.
That's when the only reason Spider-Man made less money then is because people were like, this is not a good version.
That's why I said it's not 100% a thing, but there are signs, and we have to take into account I don't want to get too much into it, but you can't get something for nothing, everyone, and being willing for it to be on your subscription service covered under your subscription fee is not enough money to make another one. So, but I'll leave that there.
So now we are headed back to the beginning. I would still call it, there were two superhero movies that came out several years before and even the year before. Well, maybe not even the year before. Spider-Man was released in 2002, directed by Sam Raimi, written by David Koepp, if that's how you pronounce his last name, writer of Mission Impossible, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and the original Jurassic Park. And of course, yeah, has Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, Willem Dafoe, and others. And so,
help, Nick.
Like I said, this is kind of this. I consider this the real star of the superhero movie explosion. X-Men, I think, was 2000, and they were still afraid to fully address costumes.
Yeah,
they kind of took the Blade route and just put them in leather. And then this was like Raimi being like, this is a superhero movie, guys. It's colorful. It's crazy. It's over the top. Mm-hmm. It's got Raimi-isms in it. So I still consider this the birth of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or at least it still feels to me like Iron Man borrowed a lot tonally and even plot structure-y
from this
one. I mean, they're all similar, but I think
the MCU just takes it from Spider-Man took it from Superman 76 or 77.
Yeah, but that's like going way back. Like, superhero movies did die in between. Like in the 90s, like the Batman movies drove everyone to the ground. Where they're like, we're not touching Batman. We're not doing any Marvel movies.
Without a doubt.
Yes. So I want to start with, we've said, what was your first experience with it? The movie opening weekend?
Yeah. And I realized I wasn't in studio mode. So I've actually brought up this screen and showing the old LRM ranks it where we did all the Spider-Man videos. My very first video edit for the website there. What was your question again?
What was your first experience with the movie?
So saw it at the theater in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Oh my God, I was huge. And God, we were both so young.
Oh yeah, the old video.
Yeah, I try to get to where the list is just to leave it on screen there. Just go back to this, and where's my damn thing? So I went to a theater where in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, outside of Fort Campbell, where I went to high school at. Brian Brantley, I think, was with us. I know he does an Animeversal with us, for the audience that hasn't checked that out, please do. And several of our other friends, Larry and Matt, I believe, were there as well. And we were all super excited. The trailer was exciting. We all loved it. Thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And just I know everything that it did. I appreciate that. And we'll get into it later. I just didn't hit the same this last time around. But that time was pretty magical. And not. Anyone that says it wasn't is a liar.
Changed the industry, you know? Too. Eventually, yeah. In addition to, like, it set the opening box office record at that time. I think this is so funny to say now. I think it was 120 million.
I know, right?
And it was the biggest opening. And now we're like, even Spider-Man 3, I think, opened with like closer to 300 million. No, that's what, yeah. But again, that when we get to Spider-Man 3, that was an example of a giant drop.
Yeah.
Weekend too, because of quality. But we're talking about the original. My experience, I've said before on the podcast, maybe not this podcast, but on the site. I had no interest in Spider-Man. I watched the animated series, the Batman Spider-Man. My parents would take me to the grocery store and I'd buy comics, but I wouldn't buy superhero comics. I'd buy like Disney Afternoon comics and, you know, that kind of Scooby-Doo, that kind of thing. Simpsons, especially at this age, because this came out as I was entering the last 2002, that was it basically came out the last month of my high school. I mean, middle school. Everyone else in the school saw it because I didn't give a shit. And then all they were talking about is Spider-Man for like a week. So as soon as they had the release dates for the second weekend, I had my dad and me went to go buy tickets there because they didn't have online ticket sales yet. There's also no surcharge if you go in. And we got a ticket for me, my sister, him, and The only other kid in school who hadn't seen it, who was a friend, my only other friend I knew who hadn't seen it. And we went to a sold out show on like the second Friday night. And yeah, it changed the course of everything for me. I wasn't into the genre at all, except for having seen like Batman and Batman Returns and Forever and hating Batman and Robin. And, you know, I've been a big Marvel and even DC comic book and movie fan, TV fan ever since.
And I know it's something that gets a lot of people into comic books, that movie in particular, because of people our age with young kids. Yeah, man. I don't know what else to say on that aspect of it.
So what else? I guess that's it. So obviously we both rewatched it. It's still my second favorite. Kyle, of course. What's your overall? I've heard your overall opinion on it many times before, but for our peeps.
So looking at the list on YouTube for those listening, I had from 6 to 1, and this was in 2018. Mind everyone. So before Far From Home, Amazing 2. Amazing 1, Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man, and then Homecoming. I'll probably end up putting Spider-Man, or excuse me, no, that was your list. I had it Amazing 2, Spider-Man 3, Amazing 1, Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, and Homecoming. It's same, middle of the pack.
What parts?
I was going to say Spider-Man 2 should move up to number 2 for me, and then I just saw that you're actually, I was reading your list. So.
Oh. So, what you say it doesn't hold up. What particular, like, is there anything that does hold up for you, or is it just it looks cheesy, dialogue's cheesy, performances are cheesy, or is there?
So it's all of that. And that does not hold up for anything. And I think what a lot of people kind of mistake me saying, so something doesn't hold up means that I'm saying that it's complete trash and garbage, and I know I do that, and sometimes it's out of fun, and sometimes it's it's legit, and in this case, it's a legit complaint, and I get. Excuse me, sorry, Raimi right now is trying to kill me through the Necronomicon. Look, I know like what you've said. You know the corniness is a Raimiism. It's a this that and the other. But you can't also deny the amount of grounded, realistic characteristics and threads that are there in the first two. So it gets hard for me to defend it as a Raimiism or bad on purpose, or corny, not bad, corny on purpose. Because it's like, well, why is it serious over here? And why doesn't the tone, it just bounces back and forth. And you look at it, you're like, yeah, I wholly appreciate you embracing many aspects of the weird with the costumes, but at the same time,
talking to yourself.
Yeah, at the same time, you give us this Green Goblin suit, not even just the helmet that we're supposed to believe is some high tech fancy type thing, and we have military people testing advanced fancy schmancy shit right now that it doesn't look like that. So as I kind of grew up and the MCU, absolutely. And yeah, guys, I'm aware it's cookie cutter. I'm aware that it plays a lot of things safe, and I get that. And I knock things, and you can go to check out past reviews for that. But they managed to do both the fantastical and the grounded elements better. And that's why it doesn't hold up, because I'm able to get corny with language in Age of Ultron while getting some seriously super realistic badass shit in Winter Soldier or Falcon Winter Soldier, you know. So yeah, it's kind of one of those ones where you really look at the MCU and you're like, thank God I'm spoiled. Like, this is a first world problem I'm happy to have, because
too many good Spider-Man movies.
dude, and yeah, I'm hoping that 2 hits better for me. I do. I don't know that it will. The 1 didn't. 1 did not hold up at all because of that. Because I can't take without Raimi coming out himself and going, yes, I was purposefully corny and purposefully grounded. And if it didn't work out, I'm so if he comes out, okay. But I don't necessarily know. I think there's a legit unsure way of how to bring superheroes into the real world. Into a more realistic setting at that time, and I don't know who's to blame. Sony. I wish I could blame Amy Pascal and Avia Rod and all of them all day long, but if it's Raimi, it's Raimi. I'm not begrudging anyone that doesn't enjoy it. I'll joke around. I'll talk smack, and I hope people realize when I'm joking or when I'm being when I'm exaggerating. But there's often times where I still don't know. Like, I personally don't know anyone within 5 years above or below my age that truly loves the Garfield movies. I just don't.
Oh,
so
I was so off track. I'm like, yeah, so, sorry. You mean the one with Bill Murray? Garfield.
No. So I don't get the aspect of like I've said people wanting us to all of a sudden be all into things that they hated. So yeah, I'm glad people like it. I don't get why you especially if you were one of those that hated it 5 to 10 years ago, whether it's McGuire or Garfield. If you hated it then, I mean, I know things can grow on you, but God dang, like, did that much?
I think Sorry. It's kids growing up mostly, which is why, like, all the
Zers, people our age,
all the Zers or whatever, what wires, the all flip, the Ys,
flip floppers. Yeah, yeah, I know what you're trying to get out.
They all, their favorite trilogy is the original trilogy. I mean, is the prequel trilogy, because that's what they grew up with. So I have to imagine most of the Andrew Garfield fans grew up with those movies and are now old enough to be on Twitter. Because
I would thought
I'd like the idea of getting a bunch of villains into No Way Home.
Yeah,
but I have me too. And we'll talk about those movies too. I have no love for those movies overall, but I like the idea of building a big enough team, a 6 or maybe only a 5. But yeah, I don't. It's not like I have any yearning to see those characters return other than being used as like a Sinister 6. But back to this one, Spider-Man 2002, I disagree with you. I think it does a great job of weaving the cheesy and the emotional scenes together. I still think that, I think out of all the Spider-Man movies, even the new ones, it does a better job with the relationship between Peter and whichever, you know, Gwen Stacy or MJ knew. Like, I think the first two movies and the first one starting it set up the most interesting, romantic relationship than the other movies. It does jump back and forth, but I still think it's great. Like, the Mary Jane stuff, the upside down kiss is like iconic as fuck still. Like the darkness, like, you know, it ends at a funeral for Harry Osborn, and he also passes Uncle Ben. This is the first time we've seen Uncle Ben die. They repeat that every time. And as cheesy as he looks, And as cheesy as the fire scene is, where he goes in to rescue someone from the fire and it's the Green Goblin wearing a cloth, I think the ending fight scene, once they get into the dilapidated building, is one of the most brutal fight scenes in any Marvel movie. It's just, it is dark as hell.
Yeah, I can't disagree with a few of those. Those
rooftop points. Scene, cheesy as hell. Mm-hmm. Especially since he's wearing the mask. Mask, I've seen the prosthetic test. I think there's even an animatronic test. Mm-hmm. The mask was a bad choice just because Spider-Man also has a mask. So in that scene, it's like two action figures who are just doing all their performance like, hey, Spider-Man, like you should join me. And sometimes the mouth has like cloth on the inside. So sometimes you can see his teeth and sometimes he opens up his eyes. Yeah. But when you have the two talking each other with their masks on, it's like, okay, these could be anyone in these suits, like mm-hmm. like action figures.
That's one of those things where comics had the edge, where they could use expressive eyes,
the eyes,
and lines and extra personal spaces in the blocks to convey things. And that's the great thing about the modern tech for costumes, with the CGI for moving eyes, facial tracking, and the ability to get like when Ryan Reynolds wears a real mask and is speaking, you know, so you can actually see jaw lines often matching up. They ADR a lot of course, yeah. And script changes.
I think they CGI a lot of the masks too, I think.
But that helps, and that scene, yeah, it hurt it.
Okay, so how do you? Here's one of my favorite parts of the movie, and it continues. It's actually my favorite MCU villain, no, Marvel villain. Don't say MCU yet. Villain on the screen has been Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
Did he live up to your original, like, do you still find his performance interesting, or is it too over the top?
No.
And too cheesy?
I think he has a great core there. He's probably the best part of the first film. It's just, it sucks that he's dragged down with the costume and some of the other less flattering aspects of the film. I think that type of unhinged goblin is a really cool idea and fun, and borderlines on the Joker aspect, which I wonder why. And regardless, I do like his thing. There's aspects around him that I think hurt the character. But overall, I think that's the strongest point of the movie, man.
And I even like, just thinking about it now, like even like the origin scene is way better than the
Parker's.
Yeah, amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, that is.
No, I was gonna say when they is right off the bat. You know, this is a love story. Blah. I like the narration. That's just the beginning and just at the end, and like, you know, the bus thing, and then right off we go to. The scene where he gets bit by a genetically altered spider, a super spider or whatever they call it, where she explains all the different spiders that are there. And this one's like, this one almost like some people has precognition. We call it like a spider sense, you know,
all the exposition that we, and that's where you could really tell that the studio is like, guys, no one's ever read a Spider-Man comic book in their lives. I mean, even though there's a built-in audience of millions of loyal fans, these kids are stupid. And we're Sony execs, so by God, we need some anime-level exposition in this. And I'm saying that as the host of two animation shows on the Genreverse Podcast Network. Anime explains shit out the ass. And that's what the scene was. And that's one of those other things that I had to hit it on, where it's just like, come on, guys, we weren't that dumb. All you had to say was that these are modified spiders.
Yeah, that is I don't know. I think they do some of the things they do really well, especially since they're kind of the first in a lot of these areas. Mm-hmm. And first, I mean, modern, I still consider it 2002 modern.
Mm-hmm.
21st century superhero movies. We'll call it that. Even though X-Men is one too. they did a great job of like showing the confusion of someone who gets powers and doesn't know what the hell's going on. There are funny scenes where he like slams into the wall and he's trying to get, go web, go Shazam, like all that stuff. Yeah. But, and also the costume design thing scene is fascinating.
I like that.
He draws, like, it's a great Raimi montage.
Oh right there. Yeah. And not only that, but how many kids, if you didn't do it yourself, but how many kids did you know in elementary school and middle school that were designing little comic characters or their version Power Ranger? I did shit like that, trying to, you know, come up with cool ways to utilize the Green Ranger. Say here, wearing my Green Ranger hoodie into things. So I do. Also appreciate that scene.
And then the music, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Danny Elfman's scores.
Elfman's scores great.
And the opening credits are really
great. But it's great.
The opening credits are a really cool way to, like, this is what I've always respected, show us enough without him having to show us Spider-Man in the first 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, the opening scenes, like, webs, you know, this red arm going through. Like, so they don't even show the full suit, but it's like, here, right off the bat, you're going to see cool shit later. We just have to get into the origin first. We can't open with Spider-Man swinging like we could in Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like I said, there's a lot of good stuff there. It's just none of it is enough anymore. Maguire does a fine job as Peter Parker. And I'll agree with you on your earlier point about the Mary Jane and Parker relationship. I know a lot of people that swear up and down Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker's stuff in Amazing is better. And I actually like Emma Stone as an actress. Mm-hmm. I think she's wonderful. I think like Easy A is one of the most hilarious like teen comedies of the modern age that doesn't go the route of like a Porky's or a Van Wilder. You know, it's not that it's. Easy A is more of like a
super bad either.
No, it's like Back to the Future type teen comedy. It's not the raunchy Animal House type, which is both are fine. I appreciate them both for different things, and we'll watch both religiously. But you know, like I said, at the end of the day, none of it is enough to kind of wrap it all up for me. But we do have two more to get through. Wouldn't it be some weird shit? We get to Spider-Man 3, a film I have admittedly not watched since 2009 or 10. What happens if it's actually good?
Yeah, right. In retrospect, you're like, this one. Oh my god! Screw one and two. I like three. I don't think that'll happen.
Hashtag Topher Grace is Venom.
Yeah. Then again, you're gonna be seeing a better, in my opinion, version of Eddie Brock and Venom than what Sony gave us. Because it's so I don't know. I still think they fucked up the origin so bad.
Gave us both versions of Venom are so Sony, dude.
No, I know. I mean, but like the stuff they're peddling now that's not even in the Spider-Man universe until recently, where it's like Venom doesn't have a white. Anyway, I can rant about that forever, too. Anything else you want to say about Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2002?
Oh, man, we're wrapping up already.
Well, do you have more to say about it?
Oh, well, I mean, I do on the other side of this break from our sponsors. I got a really cool thing with OBS. So Nick, You'll just hold tight until I tell you we're back on, okay? Just hold tight, buddy. Thanks, guys. Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Nick is causing me to have to use the please stand by. No, dude, like I actually have the ad built in now.
It
play, dude. Like when I hit when the podcast is over, the background, the overlay, it's all on there. Now. All I got to do is sync a couple audio streams, add our music, and yay! Hey. I think, I hope. That's how it's worked for two things. Our show's a little different. So, hey, anyways. So, the other thing that I kind of wanted to bring up really was those ideas of these characters coming back, and what does Green Goblin do in No Way Home potentially, and we're saying potentially because as of now there are no other Spider-Men confirmed, but potentially, Nick, what do you think they're going to do with Goblin? Because we see that there's a change to Electro. We don't know what, but it's obvious there's some yellow lightning instead of blue. And then Ock looks very similar, and then Goblin has the same exact pumpkin bomb, which I said I was a little disappointed by, but that doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to have the same get up. Mm-hmm. What do you expect from Goblin or what do you want from it?
I would almost just want the classic suit.
You know? Oh God!
Maybe without the mask. Maybe he just wears the suit, not the mask. Though then again, if you give him the mask, you don't have to de-age him as much as Doc Ock. Because obviously they're using this. These movies are like 20 years old, so they're de-aging people for these movies. Now with CGI, they could actually make Willem Dafoe look more like a goblin.
Like, that's kind of what I was thinking.
That would be cool. Like Willem Dafoe's motion capture face, but like some big ears and like. No, I'd even give him the hat, the purple hat.
See, that's more of what I'm hoping for. Almost like a combination of was it Hobgoblin had a deep demon in him, right? Or was that Demogoblin? I think it was maybe both. Either way, one of them actually has like a demon from hell or some shit connected to them in them, something like that. You could do something. There's magic and interdimensional travel involved. So he's got this techie stuff, but this interdimensional combination thing that happened that does transform the way he looks.
In the comics, I haven't paid enough attention to this because really they try to avoid Goblin, it seems, in the comics recently in the last 10 years. Except for I read one where Carnage got on Goblin. It was Red Goblin. It was absolutely terrifying and amazing. But is it a mask in the comics? Because he's not actually mutated, because then mm-hmm. he could take it off and he's Norman mm-hmm. Osborn.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, if you look at the ultimate spider... Green Goblin that you see in Into the Spider-Verse, he's just a giant goblin monster.
Yeah, I don't like that's so fucking 2000s. Like, I hate that.
Yeah, I hated that even in Spider-Verse. And I also don't, I don't know. I guess you can get rid of the mask in this one as long as he doesn't look like the Green Goblin from Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh God! Yeah.
You can make him look human, but just give him a few weird mutation features.
What about Garfield? If he's in there more than just the look, it's the spy. I didn't know you're Spider-Man too. Let me punch this guy, and then they go through a portal. If it's more than that, if. What do you want from that this is your Spider-Man, this still tugs at your heartstrings. So Nick, what is your dream setup? No Way Home, what do they do with your Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire?
I would like to only see them in the third act, mm-hmm. the heroes.
I don't think that'll happen to be in act two. I think
probably not. But And so it's mostly Tom Holland versus, you know, these guys we know. I would love it if Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker dies, sacrifice. Like, I think that would be, you'd finally get a full arc to his story, considering they were all, they even had a poster for Spider-Man 4 in theaters until that fell apart. Like, they had a poster.
I would
really, it's not a, it doesn't feel like a trilogy or a franchise ending in episode, I mean, number three. I mean, it's just, it's kind of like him and MJ are back together after some strain, and at the end, back to a funeral for Harry Osborn.
Do you, so I think that's the route it's like likely to go. Like, I don't think they're going to come in the middle of them by act two. I think it's towards the end of act two, but I don't think it's going to be like a middle and act three for them to show up. I think they've got a meatier part than either you or I want. And I think that's,
what if, so what if only the villains come through? We see in the trailer that he screws up the, then what if Strange is like, I understand the multiverse now, I'm going to save Peter Parker's and over his head by finding two more Peter Parkers.
I don't know. The less time with the other Spider-Men, the better. And I know there's people listening right now just screaming, oh my God, why do you hate the guys, it's Tom's movie. This is, this is the Tom Holland's Spider-Man movie.
And when we're talking about nostalgia, I'd still be okay if neither of them were in the movie. I'd rather, I'm excited for Green Goblin and Doc Ock and that kind of stuff, but I don't need to see our Spider-Man actors again.
I came around to that side of things, but I always made it where it's like a only the villains, though. That'd, I don't want the Spider-Man, but sure enough, we get the other Spider-Man.
Because we'll be talking about another Spider-Man very soon. I wonder which one it'll be, since we're doing them in order. But that also has second best villain put to screen behind Green Goblin. Because he's so... Alfred Molina is the bomb. But we can talk about that next time.
Yeah, I don't know. We rate the villains, too. What did we LRM rank? Spider-Man villains... what did we list them as? It's the old fashioned podcast where I was too lazy to write it down. Ha! Anyways, I don't know. No, he's definitely, Osborn's definitely top five.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's top, because my number one right now, of course, is Mysterio. And I'll say this, while I was a big Bruce Campbell for Mysterio person, I'm so happy we got more than just opening fight and Mysterio going to jail. So we'll see. Once we get to after No Way Home, maybe we could re-rank these on a Marvel Multiverse Mayhem.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Anything? No, I was going to say, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I think we wrapped it up. Go watch Spider-Man if you don't remember it, and see if you side with me or if you side with Kyle, if it's been a decade or 20 years.
But you got to actually watch it. You can't just go. I'm siding with Nick, even though I myself have not watched the movie in, like Nick said, 5, 6, 7 years or more. Actually give it a watch and objectively try to say whether or not it holds up without nostalgic glasses. And I hope 2 hits better, because I really want it to, because I have grand memories of it. I just remember as maybe 5 or 6 years ago watching it and kind of being like, yeah. Guys, check out genreverse.com and lrmonline.com. Check out all of the great celebrity interviews on the YouTube channel, LRM's YouTube channel. And of course, all of our podcasts on the Genreverse podcast network. Those include Animeverse reviews, the Daily Cup of Genre, Nick's got something he'll talk about. And we've got a couple other things coming back and new things coming. So please follow us at the social media information down below, LRM underscore exclusive at the Genreverse. And yeah, Nick.
I also do Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, which this week we do a full spoiler discussion on Squid Game at the end of our show. Since Jammer finally finished it. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's my plug.
All right, guys. That's it for us.
With that, Excelsior. No, wait.
Yeah, that's right. You said it right. Okay. Enough said.
I just remember the time I did reverse it, and you're like, oh, Nick.